Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for being here this Wednesday. So I'm not usually here on Wednesdays. For those of you who don't know, my name is Darcy Sheening. I'm a good friend of Chuck and Julie's, and they've got quite a busy summer. Their son is playing golf again today, and given the weather, they might have to pick him up early. So that is why I'm hosting. So thank you all for being on. And if you hear some weird noises in the background, for those who don't know, I live in Monument and the weather here is absolutely crazy. So it's storming right now. The internet should be fine, but just a heads up if you start hearing some crazy weather outside. So I'm going to jump right into it. We've got some awesome guests today and we've got some really great guests on Friday too. I am hosting last minute today because of the weather and the golf situation, but I was able to talk to a couple of people today, and given everything that's going on this week, I thought it would be really important, especially given how much time that we dedicated to home rule, to go ahead and discuss what happened in Douglas County and what happened with home rule last night, because that was not just a loss. I mean, it was a catastrophic loss out in Douglas County. So we're going to spend some time talking about that a little later in the show. And then the other thing we're going to do today is we're going to talk about Senate District 9. So my first guest, he'll be on in a couple minutes, but his name is Scott Shamblin, and he's going to talk to us about the Right to Life initiatives and how those relate to what's going on in Senate District 9. But for those who don't know, so Senator Paul Lundeen received a really awesome job. I forget which organization. So he has resigned as a senator. He will not finish out his term. And so that is going to go to a vacancy committee for Senate District 9. The official call has been sent out. I'm actually on that vacancy committee. I received the call yesterday. And the meeting is on June 30th to fill Senator Lundeen's seat in Senate District 9. Now, we all know the Senate has not been great. They have not performed well. I would say they're probably three times worse than the House, if not greater. So we have not been able to rely on the Colorado Senate for anything conservative yet. All of that to say, that seat is really important. So you guys, we just saw Cleve Simpson become speaker, or become leader of the Senate. And Cleve is the senator who last year, I was on the Chuck and Julie show and I spoke about this. So Cleve was upset with myself and the Colorado GOP because we called out his opponent, Vivian Smotherman, who is a man. We called her out for being a groomer. I called her out. I said, this is a man. Cleve was really upset. Cleve picked up the phone and he apologized to poor Vivian. And then he said that myself and the Colorado GOP were too extreme at the time. Fast forward to last month, Vivian Smotherman, who lost to Cleve, now has a high school student living in his house. They are grooming a child against their parents' wishes. Police have been called. So that's the new leader of the Colorado Senate. So it would be really nice to get a conservative senator into that mix. As of right now, it's not really happening up there. It's not. So Kirkmeyer's leading the pack. They have forced horrible bills down our throats. And so some of the conservatives have really rallied around Linda Wilson, and that is who is running to take Lundeen's spot. Terry Carver is also running. So Terry Carver For those who don't know, she used to be our elected representative for House District 20, which is my district. Terry was termed out and then redistricted, and she's held several spots up there. It's a little bit confusing, but she is now running for Senate District 9. So I am also unfortunately aware of the fact that the precincts are pretty stacked towards Terry at present in Senate District 9. So Terry has spent a significant amount of time actually putting precinct leaders into those spots to ensure that when Lundeen stepped down, that she could go ahead and take that seat. And we've got just about 3 minutes, I think, until Scott jumps on. So that's why I'm giving you guys the background, so that Scott doesn't have to go through all this and he can just jump straight into the bills, literally, that he wants to discuss as they relate to Senate 9. So we're in a little bit of a dangerous spot there. Not really sure what's going to happen. All I got to say, you know, some of us joke, it really doesn't even matter what happens in the Senate because it's gotten so bad. They're not even working for us anymore. And I think we see that every day. How many of them jumped onto the anti-gun social media bill this past year? How many of them jumped onto House Bill 1315 and House Bill 1319? And you guys, those bills were written, those vacancy committee bills were written to keep true conservatives out of the county commissioner, the Senate, and the House spots. That was the only point of those bills. So if you don't think that Paul Lundeen told who he wanted to know that he was going to resign this year, then you haven't been in politics very long, because I can tell you, I would put my entire life savings on it. I would risk my dog right here. I'll put him up as a bet. Paul Lundeen knew that he was stepping down. That is why you see the Young Republicans. That's why you saw CSSA. That's why you saw all these organizations. They were ready to pounce. Paul Lundeen's supporters were ready to go. They don't want principled conservatives in those seats in the Senate and the House. And so what we're seeing with those bills is literally an orchestrated force to keep these conservatives out of these seats. So Scott Shamblin, who ran the No on 79 initiative, he is going to come on to talk about back in 2016, back in 2017, you know, the things that people don't really remember. Some of the bills that were run when Terry Carver was a state representative, some of the bills that she may have supported, as well as some of the things that are going on today that are still being supported by that group, and then what Linda's looking to do. And then we'll get Linda on, like I said, a little bit later in this call. I think that'll give you guys a really good picture of what's going on in Senate 9. And listen, you don't have to live in the Senate district, in the commissioner district, in the House district to care about a vacancy. Over 30% of our vacancy or our elected representative in Colorado got there by way of vacancy. That's why these are so important. So watch today's show, get the information that you need, text your friends, text your coworkers, and tell them what's going on in Senate District 9. I see that Mr. Scott Shamblin has jumped on the call. So I'm going to get him on for just a couple minutes to talk about the bills that he wants to fill our listeners in about, and why, you know, life is so important in Colorado, who values it and who doesn't. I think really highly of Scott. I sent in a signal thread 2 days ago. Someone saw one of his tweets and they were like, who is this? And I said, you guys, you know me, I'm hard on people. And Scott is one of my top 10 people in Colorado. He is straightforward, hardworking. I cannot say enough good things about Scott. So with that, Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Darcy?
Good. Thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Well, dive right into it. I'm the executive director of Colorado Right to Life, and Colorado Right to Life Action has taken an interest in this race, as we are a Christian organization that believes in protecting all innocent human life from fertilization through natural death. After all, the American founders realized that life precedes liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And I'm up at the Capitol all through session, and we're fighting tooth and nail against every attack on life. And it would benefit everyone who loves life and liberty to have an actual fighter in the ring. And so our team went through the former Representative Terry Carver's voting record and found that there were a lot of Carver's carve-outs, if you will. In 2017, Carver voted 100% in line with Planned Parenthood votes, and she voted in favor of House Bill 17-1186, which I have right here. So let's read the bill and talk about
what it means. If we could get that up, too, that would be great.
What was that?
If we could get that up, too, that would be great. Doug's going to try to get that up, but go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm just going to go ahead and read a couple pieces of it. A fun fact, it was prime sponsored by Brittany Pederson, the now congresswoman. But the long title is concerning a requirement that health benefit plans require to cover contraception reimburse dispensers for dispensing a multiple month supply of prescription contraceptives. And then going into the definitions, so on to page two of it, it's talking about health insurers specifically. Plans subject to the coverage requirements in sections 10-16-104, it says, shall reimburse a participating provider or dispensing entity that is in network for dispensing a covered person prescription contraceptives intended to last for a three-month period the first time the prescription contraceptive is dispensed to the covered person and for a 12-month period or through the end of the covered person's coverage under the policy, contract, or plan, whichever is shorter for any subsequent dispensing of the same prescription contraceptive to the covered person, regardless of whether the covered person was enrolled in the policy, contract, or plan at the time the prescription contraceptive was first dispensed, or a prescribed vaginal contraceptive ring intended to last for a three-month period. Now, what does this actually mean? We have to understand definitions, and that's very important in law, and especially in writing and voting on law. The definition of conception, that is what we know as the sperm meeting the egg, was changed decades ago to lie to millions of women. It was changed by the American Congress of Obstetricians and Gynecologists and the abortion and pharmaceutical industries. And it was changed from its traditional meaning of fertilization, that is the beginning of human life where a baby is conceived, to now mean implantation. By redefining the established term, the abortion and pharmaceutical industries could mislead women by selling them contraceptives that, in fact, do not only prevent... The pharmaceutical industries... So they could mislead women by selling them contraceptives that, in fact, do not prevent conception, but were designed to kill the tiniest children by preventing implantation, so they cannot continue to grow in their mother's wombs. Such contraceptives are not actually contraceptive, but are usually chemical abortifacients or birth control. These redefinitions, they're meant to mislead women to unknowingly abort their tiniest children. So these pills, basically what it does is it causes a change in the lining of the uterus, making implantation more difficult. It transforms the lining of the uterus from a welcoming environment to a very sterile one. In a cycle where ovulation was not prevented and fertilization takes place, it will cause a silent abortion. This is a policy that Terry Carver approves of, voted in favor of, and has sent out texts defending. I find it unacceptable to intentionally end the life of any innocent human being, including through abortifacients, and when you may or may not see that human being. For this reason, we've chosen to endorse Linda Zamora Wilson as the pro-life candidate in the race. Linda returned an excellent CRTL candidate survey, and we have no doubt that she'll actually be a true fighter for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you, Scott. That was a lot of information, and that was really helpful. So these medications that in that bill were termed as contraceptives, they're more like the morning after pill.
You could think of it that way. It's a very similar mechanic, yeah.
But instead of the contractions that are expelling, it's changing the lining of the uterus to ever prevent the implantation.
Yes. So it's the baby is conceived. There is a human being there, but it hasn't implanted yet. So it is a live human being. It's just been prevented from growing.
So why do you think that Republicans have supported this? And, you know, even if you look at the resolution from that same year, that 17, I think the resolution is 1005, and it was to protect birth control, but it covered abortion. So, you know, why do you think that we're in a situation now where there's Republicans that organizations like yourself have to come along and say, look, this is not who we support?
Well, Darcy, have you ever met a politician that made a choice to save their spot in whatever elected role they're in?
Yes.
Well, that's the problem. We've also seen in Republican and pro-life conservative circles just where either they are ignorant to misinformation or they willfully choose to move forward despite the bad information. Terry Carver, she's a smart woman. I don't believe that she has any excuse for this.
She is a really smart woman. She was a JAG. I think she's a JAG. She's well-read. I believe she was eyeing the commissioner seat and then ultimately determined she really wanted to be at the legislature. Water and land rights just aren't for her. But I mean, this is kind of unfortunately how we're losing Colorado, because Democrats don't work for us. Republicans do. And we owe it to our party to make sure that the Republicans that we elect, that they're working for us. They're protecting families and they're protecting life. So I really appreciate all that you're doing, Scott. Is there anything else you want to let our viewers know about Senate 9 or what you're working on just in general?
Well, in Senate District 9, we're just putting the word out, telling people we've endorsed Linda Zamora Wilson. We hope that you might vote for her come this Monday. As for Colorado Right to Life, we are the most active pro-life group up at the Capitol. We're the oldest pro-life group in the country. This year, we actually managed to kill a bill I believe we killed it in the House. So we were very happy about that. And it was actually a bill that Lundeen co-sponsored. So it seems to run in the district a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's what we're up to primarily. And we're going to keep fighting for life.
Thank you, Scott. How can people find you? Whether they've got questions about Senate 9 and they want you to talk about these bills, or whether they've got questions about the right to life, or just all the other stuff that you do, because you do a lot. And we'll get to that on some other call. But how can people reach you and how can they get involved and help you?
Yeah, the best thing they can do is reach out to us via email. It's office@coloradortl.org.
Awesome. Scott, thank you for being here. And I know it was short notice today. Thank you for everything that you do for Colorado. Well, we'd love to get you back on soon. We're going to talk to some other guests now. So keep up the fight, Scott.
Sounds good. Thank you, Darcy.
Thank you. So yeah, Scott is great. I mean, he is a fighter. He is out there. Go check out his Twitter. He's on Twitter and or X. And I mean, he is just giving the Colorado Democrats a run for their money. I have no doubt that he's going to be around for many, many, many more decades, just sticking it to the other party. So Scott gave us a rundown on Senate 9, and I see that Linda Zamora Wilson is now on the line. So I am going to go ahead and bring Linda on. Linda, if you could pop on. We're going to give Linda a chance to talk about her candidacy, talk about what she's seen in Senate 9, what her platform is. Linda, looks like you're still on mute. Let me see if I can. Oh, I got you. All right. Linda, are you here with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, how are you doing?
What's that?
How's it going?
Time is ticking away, and you can imagine as the chair of Senate District 9, going through and organizing the meeting, but also being a candidate, my hands are full, to say the least. I'm trying to reach out and talk to all the precinct leaders, and it just seems like time is vaporizing, but I'm trying to get there.
Yeah. And I know that you work and you've got this is a lot. It was very sudden, or I should say it was very sudden for you. It may not have been very sudden for some certain other people, but it was very sudden for you. Linda, what are you hearing when you're making calls, and what are your concerns with the district? What would you like to see happen? What are the precinct leaders saying to you? Just give us a rundown. Like, what's going on in Senate District 9 today?
As you can imagine, that's like asking President Trump, what's he going to fix after Biden? There's so many issues. And I'm probably not even going to, it's like whack-a-mole, right? So obviously things are unaffordable. People can't afford to live here. It's getting outrageous. And of course we can talk about policies that the Democrats have done that just have increased costs. Tabor. Dems have been continuously trying to strike down Tabor. Immigration, illegal immigrants coming in, and what we've got going on with crime. And then election integrity is still very big. And that's actually how I got started, is election integrity, finding out what our system is. And boy, that's another big topic. Parental rights, I should say parental authority, and how the grooming is going on in our schools. Parents are losing their voice, and that goes in with censorship. And it's overwhelming. The Democrats have definitely overwhelmed. I know when I've given a lot of testimony up at the Capitol, and even when I go to my conservative friends and I say, what's going on at the Capitol, they really don't, they can't grasp it. And I say, go to this video, go to minute marker, I don't know, five minutes into it, and you tell me. And when I direct people and educate them, they are just blown away. So,
yeah. Linda, regarding parental rights, what do you think Lundeen was thinking when he co-prime sponsored this year the bill to allow outside organizations to come speak to charter schools? Whereas we had kind of previously had charter schools a little bit protected over off to the side from the LGBTQ and all the nonsense they're bringing in to talk to these kids. Why do you think he did that? Do you think that was, what's your best guess?
I don't even want to try to guess. I mean, there's, after watching 4 years of the General Assembly, and you take a look at how business is done in the wheeling and dealing and trading, I'll support your bill versus you support mine. And it's definitely shocking when you're new to all this and you think, well, my representative has this great bill. Now, before I would think that's awesome and applaud them. Now, after 4 years of watching this, my first question is, what was the cost?
Right.
What did they trade? They traded my freedoms for that great bill. Was it worth it?
Yeah, I know. They traded the safety of my children, who are sitting right behind me, to get their name on a bill, to protect their seat, to say I did something.
Right.
It's sad. I mean, that's where we're at in Colorado. So what do you foresee? So say you June 30th comes and you win the vacancy election. Tell me, like, what your first 2 weeks, like, I realize we're not in session right now, but say you are elected on June 30th, What are you going to be doing the first 2 weeks? Like, who are you going to be calling? What are you going to be looking to do so that when session rolls around, your conservative values and your fight are prominent and you're hitting the ground rolling?
I really don't know how to answer that. I mean, there's so much going on. I do want to work with those Republicans who are strong. I mean, I know if we're talking Senate, there's if you look at some of their scores, but I know courage is contagious.
Yeah.
You know, when someone is standing in the gap and trying to rally people and remind people, as far as, you know, we're supposed to be salt and light and expose the darkness. And a lot of Republicans have been capitulating, and it's like, no, we've had enough. Enough of this. We need to stand our ground and push back. I don't know how else to say that. I don't know. Enough is enough. I mean, the Dems have been consistently whittling away our freedoms, and we're to a point where there's not much else to give. We've got to stand our ground and claw back our freedoms. So I know, as far as how to insert that, it's going to take talking with the Democrats, and I do believe educating them. I mean, lawyers are a dime a dozen up there. I have a background with economics, mathematics, education. And so I have a unique set of tools that I can hopefully enlighten and educate them. I don't know if that makes sense, but.
No, it does. And you've always been that person. For those who don't know, Linda, I don't know. I don't even remember when I met you, but. You're honest and you have integrity and you know where you stand with Linda. We can disagree, but you don't ever attack people and you don't ever just hurt people. So I've always appreciated that about you. And I think that that's really important. And, I have another question for you. So, Lundeen has been running the Senate Majority Fund, obviously, and now he's leaving, and that's partially managed by Daniel Cole and several others. And obviously, we know that the goal of the SMF has long been to put moderates into office. So, you know, let's say you're elected on June 30th. Linda, do you want to get in there and not only fight against the bad laws and help to write good laws? But let's be honest, we need you to help. If you get elected, we need you to get in there and start figuring that out and figuring out how to get true conservatives in there. Is that something that you've thought about yet, or something you're excited about? Because like I said, I've known you for a while and I know this is important to you. So I would like to think that you've got something big and robust planned when that does happen.
Well, I think the key thing is to engage we the people, because we're not going to get true conservatives unless we get we the people engaged. And how do you do that? You've got to educate them, sound the alarm. I mean, I'm chair of the legislative committee for El Paso County GOP. And one of the things I was doing is to train, educate, and equip citizens. Now, you know, I would send that information. So I'd be looking at what's going on, the bills that are going on at the Capitol. I'd try to do a brief rundown, understand them, and do a who, what, when, where, and why information on it. And then after giving a brief summary, educate people how easy it is to give testimony. I mean, within 5 minutes, you can sign up. It's that easy. You can do it in your kitchen. You can do it in your pajamas. And then many people are still intimidated. They don't want to, they feel uncomfortable talking in front of people. So what I do is I create an example of a testimony. So it gets people more comfortable. And I think once we start engaging people and there's more of a voice, but also it's going to have to be bigger. Like, get the, you know, there's so many demographics that aren't voting. The Hispanics, the Christians. Man, if we got them engaged and educated them what actually is going on and what the costs are if we just are sitting on our hands, I think that would be key. And we could actually engage them and bring in more people as far as filling in those spots. Does that make sense?
No, it makes total sense. And I agree with you. And I know that you've been kind of working on that in your own way for years. Linda, what, you know, you're up against somebody with money. You're up against somebody that has been working with the establishment for years. What do you need? So it's June 25th. Like, we have 5 days and I'll be there for that meeting too, obviously. What do you need from our viewers, from me, from anybody who may see this in the next 5 days? Do you need help making calls? Are you raising money for this? Like, tell our viewers what they can do to help Linda.
Well, yeah, this thing is so quick that there's no opportunity to raise money. And there's, you know, the grassroots, I love the grassroots. But sometimes things can backfire. Well, I'll just leave it at that. But as far as people, they need to know that I am about integrity. Like this, this text that got sent out about, Terry Carver's abortion thing. Some people thought that was coming from me. And number one, that was coming outside of my arena, if you want to call it a campaign. I have to laugh when I say my campaign, because it's like, yeah, it's just really, I don't have like...
You're 10 days, whatever
it's
it
like
is.
Me, right? My grassroots are helping me, but I just wanted to say... yeah, this was not about slander, and I want a clean election. I don't want the slander. I know what it's like when people mischaracterize me. I experienced that in 2022, and it's really frustrating. But I want a clean election. I don't want the mudslinging. That's not how I operate.
No, and I appreciate that, Linda. I think those of us who know you know that you would rather lose than win dirty. So,
right, and exactly. I
wouldn't say that about very many people. So thank you for all that you do. Can you tell our viewers how to contact you if they have any questions, anything that you want them to know?
Well, I took down my website, the one that I had in 2022. So you can reach out to me on X. I'm Zamora for Colorado. You can message me there. I don't want to give my phone number out here, but you can also, if they want, I don't know, I guess I'm asking you, if they want to reach out to you and you can plug them, direct them towards me, that's an opportunity also.
Yeah, feel free to reach out to the Chuck and Julie Show, or just feel free to reach out to me. Most of you guys have my info. I'm probably out there a little bit more than Linda, so feel free to reach out to me. I see we've also got Ray Garcia on the call and Kathy Gardino, and either of those individuals are always really helpful to reach out to our grassroots and our candidates and lend a helping hand as well. So if you got any questions or if there's anything that you think you can do to help in Senate 9, just let me know, let Linda know, or let somebody on this call know. So Linda, thank you so much. I know you're really busy. I will let you get back to your life and your crazy campaign. And I hope to see you soon.
Thank you so much. You guys have a blessed day.
Thanks, Linda.
Bye.
Bye. All right. So you guys, we got a ton of information today on Senate 9. Senate 9, to me, is very indicative of the state of Colorado. We're kind of fighting for that district and fighting for our principles, fighting for our values, while Democrats and Republicans are really piling it on the conservatives these days. So for those of you who don't know, the home rule election that we spent so much time talking about the last couple of weeks happened last night, and it was a massacre. I mean, it was atrocious. I've got Steve Collier on this call. I'm going to pull him on. And actually, Steve's going to stay with me till the end of the show, because we're going to talk about all of this stuff and what it means for the state of Colorado. Steve is in Douglas County. He's I'm going to let him tell you his titles, because he does a lot of work in Douglas County. Collier, can you unmute yourself?
Yeah. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Even though I do reside in Douglas County, I'm out in northern Louisiana for work right now. So enjoying the mosquitoes and the heat and the humidity. But hey, there you go. Right.
Well, thank you for being here. Can you, you and I have worked together for so long. Can you tell the viewers, like, just give them a little rundown on who's Collier and what do you do in Dougco?
Yeah, sure. I appreciate that. Yeah. So I started kind of getting politically active in Douglas County about 2018 with the Douglas County Young Republicans organization. And at that point, nothing really kind of took off for what I was doing. And then about mid 2020 happened. Obviously, a lot of folks got, woken, if you will, for lack of a better term, with the COVID things that took place. And I was specifically looking at, where our businesses were shut down and obviously many of us with masking and with the threat of mandatory vaccinations, especially those with us with young kids. Yeah. And so I really got active in my local party leading up into the 2020 presidential cycle. And from there, I had an opportunity to run as the second vice chair for our county, which I did for a year. Many people probably remember in 2021, the Kids First School Board election that took place in Douglas County. And then I stepped back from that role and been involved in just activism stuff here and there. And then doing GOTV activities, especially last year in 2024. So I've kind of dabbled in a little bit. I stay active. I'm officially a precinct committee person with our party, but I kind of get involved in different things from school choice, parental control things like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you basically are just one of those people that you're always willing to put your hands in and do the work. And so that's why we get along, and that's why we've worked together so well. So you've helped a ton of candidates. Let's be honest. You've helped a ton of issues. We're going to jump right into it. So you were pretty active with home rule. And as you know, we discussed home rule a lot on this show. It was a blowout last night, Steve. I mean, it was, I think you and I discussed it a couple times and we were like, oh gosh, like the returns aren't looking good. It's going by the wayside. What, in your words, what happened last night?
Energy. And activation, I guess, would be the two words I would apply to this. I'll start with that latter one for a minute and what I mean by that. So we started looking at the returns. I started really taking them seriously, I'd say probably about a week before the election. And it was very noticeable that unaffiliated voters were leading in returns. A lot of the returns at that point were leading in the Highlands Ranch area. And, for those that aren't familiar, your listeners listening to the show, when we look at Douglas County, we look at what is considered to be House District 43, and that's all of Highlands Ranch, kind of dabbles a little bit into Lone Tree. That is a safe space, if you will, for our Democrat friends I won't even say our Democrat friends, are like really leftists that do exist that have come over the border from Arapahoe County. It's a reason why Bob Marshall is our representative. And it was very telling, like, hey, their energy is there. You can see it in the data. And I'm a data driven kind of person. So when I talk about activation, I'm like, we have an activation problem here. We have not activated conservatives or Republicans to vote. And those numbers continue to progress in that similar fashion for the next week leading up to Tuesday's vote. So I'll just touch on the energy part, and that kind of goes kind of hand in hand, is the motivation and the energy. You could tell through whether it's letters to the editor, you could tell through interviews, through social media engagement, things like that. And the energy was not on the side of the right. It was definitely on the side of the left. They were very, very concerned with the passage of home rule and what that could potentially mean for probably their own grand plans. I mean, we've seen numerous times where the state Democrat Party has said, "Hey, we're putting funding into the commissioner races, into the sheriff races. We're going after local." And I think that was kind of an underlying factor there. And so that energy was definitely on the left. And you and I, we've talked about this before. Folks that are conservative leaning don't pray at the altar of politics. It's the middle of the summer. We're on vacation. We're up in the mountains. We're going to Disney World, where our friends that generally on the left side of the political spectrum, they will pray to the deity of politics. And so anything that they can do politically, they're going to get involved. And I think that showed through on Tuesday night.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and especially since we're in Colorado, I'm probably gonna do to you what I think that you do this to me a lot. So what why though? Okay, so you talked about Democrats are more at the deity of, they're wrapped into this, and Republicans aren't right now. But let's take it a step further, Steve. Why is that? Where'd the energy go? What is happening in Colorado that is telling Republicans this is not my fight, or I don't have the energy for this, or I don't want to put the energy into this? There's something
Sure.
greater going on than you're, because you're right about the energy, right? You're 100% correct. But what's causing that? What greater force is causing that? What's happening in our state in your mind that causes such a drastic energy shift?
I mean, I can't really speak for all the state, but for my backyard, I think we have to keep in mind that it was an off year election in the middle of the summertime, and when those types of elections happen, it all comes down to turnout. And the pro home rule, and for full disclosure, I supported home rule. I think the pro home rule side, we lacked the ability to activate and educate what would be our voter base to support it. And so I want to be very careful to say, like, oh, the world's ending, political shifts are going crazy. I'm like, well, no, let's hold on. It is an off year election again in the middle of the summer, which is an oddity in and of its own right. So that's number one. But I mean, there is no, it's no secret that there are changing political demographics that
They're
exist,
changing.
especially going into Douglas County.
Yes.
That the Republican Party or conservatives in general do have to fight much harder to educate and convince unaffiliated voters to and you might even argue our own Republicans
Right.
to come to our side and support the initiatives that either our commissioners or our sheriff or folks like that are wanting to advocate for. So, yeah. So, I mean, there are the changing demographics for sure. But I think it's very important that we put into context exactly what happened Tuesday night.
Well, yeah, and I agree with that. To put into context what happened, when you look at the numbers, I mean, we're this is like this. I can't remember an issue that was so far
Oh, yeah.
lost in any time in my life that I can recall. So, this is really bad. So, if we're kind of trying to say that, okay, home rule is a little bit of a one-off, and we're in the summer and all those things, which I guess I appreciate somewhat, trying to have a little bit of positivity and not be like the world's all doom and gloom. But like, let's be honest. I mean, you guys just lost Tilburg in Parker. So he was the incumbent and he lost to a radical Democrat. And Parker was kind of known as a stronghold. Then we look at what happened with the school board. You guys had Republicans that were pushing candidates that were pushing a tax increase. So, are we kind of reaching a point in Douglas County where it's starting to resemble El Paso? Are the Democrats getting their claws into El Paso now? We've got Yummy Mobile as mayor down here. We've got Democrats on the county commission. Steve, people are not going to like what I'm about to say. How do you feel about this? I woke up this morning and I said, I would probably bet a decent amount of money that in the next county election, we lose a seat or two, commissioner seats or two to Democrats. I think it's coming to that. What do you think?
You in El Paso or in
In
Douglas?
Douglas.
I think that might be a bit of a stretch. I mean, the demographics within Douglas still suggest that it's going to be right leaning. You elect our county commissioners countywide. The left knows this too. Let's not mince words. That I mean, when it starts coming down to brass tacks issues of whether it's public safety, whether it's keeping your taxes lower. I mean, our county government, to the credit of our county commissioners, we have no debt. And that is a testament to a fiscal conservative mentality that our electeds keep. So I don't think we're there yet. I could it be? Yeah, sure, it could be. Yeah, for sure. But what I'm really going to be looking for over the next probably 2, 4 years is it is becoming increasingly challenging to live in Colorado, whether it's politically, economically. It is an expensive state to live in. Douglas County is the fifth highest earning or highest grossing median county throughout the entire country. A lot of people don't realize that. And it is not cheap to live in Douglas. I am at least fortunate to be one of the people who at least refied my mortgage when everything went down in 2021. So, but I when I think of young families, and you know, we've got some folks that I kind of see myself in, that were 5, 7 years ago, young families that they're wanting to buy a home and they want to live in a place like Highlands Ranch because of all the amenities. It is damn near impossible.
It
And
is impossible.
it is such a tragedy because I hear I had one gentleman I met that was at caucus last year, and he's like, yeah, we've put off really wanting to have a family yet because we can't afford it. And that is a terrible thing to hear from people when they say that I want the American dream. I want the white picket fence. I want my kids, and I want to see them go scrape up their knees riding their bikes or learning how to kick a soccer ball for the first time. But I can't do any of that because I don't have money. That's absolutely
I
in our state, just a terrible thing to hear from people.
it's so expensive. I mean, a 3-bedroom house in Monument or Highlands Ranch, you're like at a minimum of $600,000 right now. And everything is more expensive. I mean, our groceries are more expensive here. Everything is so costly. And even if you take cost aside and you say, okay, money's no object, which it is, but let's say it's not. You still have the factor here of conservative families don't want to move here right now. And they're not going to want to move here for quite some time. They want to leave. It's only the families from California and Illinois that want to move here. And I think that's what's so dangerous. And that's what we're seeing in DoGCo and El Paso, because we've created a sanctuary state, so to speak. Sanctuary for everything, though, right? Like everything that's super liberal, everything that's woke, everything that's anti-family. And so,
Well, I
why
think,
would anyone come here?
I mean, especially from the political dynamics, it's, you know, if you're looking at like, hey, where's the next place we want to move to? I don't think, especially the metro area in Denver, is going to be at the top of
You
your
can't.
list, unless you are coming from Orange County or Huntington Beach, where you just sold your $1.5 million home. And really, I mean, any other housing market you're going to is going to be far cheaper anyways. But no, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I mean, what you know, you want to obviously live in a place that reflects your values and your principles. I certainly do. That's why I'm fighting in Douglas County and for the things that I get involved in, because that's what I want for my family. I, you know, and so, but if you're looking at what's the quickest path from A to B to live in a place that has those things, you're probably not going, you know what, I really want to move to the Denver area. You know, you're probably looking at, you know, somewhere in the Southeast, Texas. You look, you know, if you're looking at like,
Alabama.
well, yeah, that's a really great segue. You know, but I mean, just near us, you know, you go up to
Near.
Rapid City, South Dakota, you look at how fast that town has expanded in the last 4 years, and a lot of it is because conservative leaning families from this state have said bye, but I don't want to be too far because maybe my parents live in Colorado still and they don't want to move, but I don't want to be raising my children in a place that I mean, anywhere from, you know, the encroaching transgenderism, my controlled speech of what I have to call someone who is pretending to live a lifestyle that isn't biologically theirs. When we look at the attacks on school choice, the continued gosh, I mean, there's just, the list goes on and on
It's
of the
just
different encroaching leftism that infects our communities and infects our classrooms, frankly.
it's
And I think the additional challenge there too is there's always going to be threats, regardless of where you live. But shouldn't we have an expectation that we have elected officials that will be the gate that holds that back? And unfortunately, we continue to run into challenges where we have people who claim to be a conservative fighter or stand for certain principles, and then they've let us down time and time again. And you're like, there is nothing holding the waters back. I either have radical Democrats that are coming out of Thornton or Arvada, or I have what, based on voting records, Democrat light. Those are my options in Colorado. I mean, what am I, a Republican from Maine? No, I'm a Republican that lives out west. And so I would expect my elected officials to reflect my values and those principles, but we unfortunately continue to run in those challenges.
And that's the entire problem. I mean, we've got people like Kirkmeyer that are writing bills to put unaffiliated into our vacancy committees. And so that's what we're up against. It's not just a blue state. It's a blue state where the Republicans have not just thrown in the towel, they've actively decided to work against their own base.
Well, I'll push back on you because it depends on how you define base. I think their base would be their
Well,
donors
okay.
and their
But
funders. So
you're right. So
they're
far,
doing
we have a
exactly
different
what
base.
they're doing exactly what they should be doing. It's just not for people like you and I. So,
Well, yeah. No, you're exactly right. I should
and I want to
be
be clear. I
hurting.
want to be very clear. That's not every elected official, and I'm specifically
No.
looking at state House, state Senate. There are some wonderful people out there who are really trying to fight that in my and I'm not just saying this because he's on the call right here,
I
right?
saw him. He, I
But
agree.
Representative Max Brooks out of the House District 45 in Castle
Yeah.
Rock, Brandi Bradley, who represents the Roxborough area and kind of down to the western side of the county. We've got some really great examples of
Yeah.
fighters who they literally are going home emotionally challenged at the end of the day because
Yeah.
they are like, I have given it all I could, people that should be my teammates
Right.
weren't there to back me up. And that is, I mean, you know me, I come from a military background in the past, and it would be like, hey, I'm on a forward operating base in Afghanistan, and my reinforcements aren't here to back
It's
me up
unheard
while
of.
I'm under fire from the enemy. And that is so discouraging and disheartening and frustrating. And I really hope those folks who know exactly who they are that are causing that realize people aren't going to want to come to their aid as well if they're not
Correct.
going to fight the good fight.
No, exactly. And they're going to reach a point where there's not enough people to knock on doors for them, not enough people to make calls. And that's exactly where those people need to be. Like, I'm unwilling to help elect these people. And I say that in the signal threads all the time. Don't come to me for help because you don't stand for me. So don't ask me to stand for you. And I think that's where a lot of us are. And, we've only got a minute left. We'll get you back on this week or next week. But, Steve, this is why we talk about Space Command so much. Like, what happened in Douglas County last night? What is going on all across this state? Look, nobody needs to, parents don't need to move their kids here. Am I wrong?
If given the choice, I mean, I love boating myself. Destin, Florida sounds wonderful. But if this was me considering Colorado right now, it literally would be a flyover state. I am flying over it and I'm going to sunnier skies. So.
It would have to be because if you raise your children with love, and you raise your children with the notion that family is the most important thing, and that the only trusted adults are parents, then you have to just fly over Colorado. And so, you know what, President Trump, at this point, this needs to happen, and it needs to happen quicker than it's been happening. We need him, and we need the administration, the federal administration, to stand for families at this point. Not one more child needs to be moved to the state. My kids are in a private school. It's expensive, and it's hard to do here. So I would beg of the Trump administration and of any Republicans that want to help us, let's get this moved ASAP. Like, we have reached critical mass. We've reached absolute carnage of our families and our children. And it's time. It's time to do the right thing. So President Trump, I know you're never going to see this show, but on the zero, we need to do what's right by families now, not what's right for congressional seats, not what's right for tax dollars. And it's time. And you guys, I'm sorry to say it, but everything that happened in Douglas County was really reflective of that last night. And I don't think the next 10 years are going to be any better. So I believe that it's time to start sectioning off Colorado and saying, this is a flyover state. I'm sorry. I know we've got beautiful mountains. I mean, I met great friends like you here and Ray and everybody else on this call. And I would like to think that this state is worth saving, but I think we're deluding ourselves at this point. And it's time. It's time to get as many families and as many children out of this state as possible. And if we don't do that, then we're complicit with hurting children, are we not?
You're not wrong, we'll put it this way.
I'm sorry to ask you that question after my big long rant, but Steve, I really appreciate all you do. And you know, I'm kind of a more like dark, negative person, where you're always like so positive. And so I really appreciate all that you're doing in Douglas County. All of that to say, look, even as this state continues to fall, people like you, people like those on this call, we will continue to stand for the children and to section off the population as much as we can in these conservative areas, because saving one children, saving one family is still worth it at the end of the day.
Well, my positivity is reflected on how much coffee I drink. So there's a direct correlation between the two.
I know. Anything you want to say to the viewers about Douglas County or the state in general?
Yeah, it's look, to continue on the continued positivity. It ain't over until it's over. And I don't think it's over. I love my community. I'm not going to give it up. And 2026 is going to be one hell of a battle for good old Biden Bob Marshall that lives in our backyard. And we look forward to continuing to make that case to the voters in Highlands Ranch and try to win this seat back for our people.
Thank you so much, Steve. Thanks for all you do. Thank you guys to the viewers, everybody on this call. I'll be back Friday. We'll be back Friday. We're going to dissect this a little more, go deeper into Space Command. And then I've got Brad Miller, the attorney, coming on. You guys want to ask him questions, and Lori Thompson of D49. So thank you so much, you guys, and we'll see you Friday.